Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents The Makeout Artist by Sarah Nye. Narrated by Avery Reed and Alexander Sendes. 1. Molly.
I'm not a matchmaker.
I know that, Molly.
Claire, my roommate's best friend, is leaning her hip against my dining room table, looking polished and glamorous as usual. Basically the opposite of how I look.
I'm not asking you to play matchmaker, but...
Her voice trails off as she trails a finger along the silver platter on my dining room table.
You're not? That's good, because I'm into computers, not people.
Claire doesn't take the hint, looming longer than I prefer, graceful fingers now grazing the edge of the table. She tries again.
You're better with famous guys than I am.
This time, my head rises. Better with famous guys? What is she even talking about? Who on earth told you I was better with famous guys? I stop picking at the vegetable tray and gape at her incredulously. Famous guys? Who on earth is she talking about? I don't know any famous people, let alone famous guys, and why would there be any at this party?
Posey told me your neighbor plays football.
My neighbor? I rack my brain. Football player, football player, football play. Finally, it clicks. Ah. She's referring to my parents' next-door neighbor, Trip Wallace. Was my neighbor. Past tense. Claire is impossible to ignore, breathing up my ass, invading my personal space with her questions and her perfume, and her froofy skirt keeps touching me too.
Still, you have experience with those sort of guys, yeah?
Not in the real world. Claire, what on earth are you talking about? Why would you ask me that? I laugh. This whole conversation is getting on my last nerve.
I just need an introduction.
She snaps her fingers, gold bangles on her wrist clinking.
Easy.
An introduction with who? Cut to the chase.
With?
Her eyes scan the room, and she leans close so no one can overhear us. Not that anyone is trying.
Elias Cohen.
Who the hell is Elias Cohen? I hate to be the one to break it to you, Claire, but you hardly seem like the type of woman who needs my help flirting, or with an introduction to some random guy.
Some guy?
She snorts.
How long has it been since you've had a proper date?
I snort back before popping an olive in my mouth. That's none of your business. She's done lost her damn mind. Can't she see that I'm busy filling a plate? In sweatpants? And when I say sweatpants, I don't mean cute, sexy, athleisure wear. I'm talking straight-up sweatpants. The kind with the drawstring and elastic around the ankles. Stole them from my dad, actually, during my last visit home, along with a few candles from my mom's secret candle cabinet. Ha ha.
Don't you want your friends to be happy?
I turned to face her dead on. Are you gaslighting me, Claire? Her expression is blank, so I assume she doesn't know what gaslighting means. But she's still so close, I can feel her breathing.
I'm shy and awkward, and plus, I've never hit on anyone who was a sports agent before.
A sports agent? Big deal. No offense to him, but just because the man has famous clients does not make him a celebrity himself. Very few agents are famous in their own right. Their job is to fade into the background, not hog the spotlight. Right? But Claire? She is clearly seduced by any brush with fame, and I have to shimmy around her to steal a slice of red pepper off a tray, dip it in dill, pop it in my mouth, then chew. Just because my neighbor growing up was a famous football player, I explain again, doesn't mean I'm better with famous people.
That's one person. That was 10 years ago when I was a teenager, and I drove the man bonkers. Still drive Trip Wallace batty, but that's neither here nor there. Constantly skirting around her to graze at my own dining room table, Claire is like a bad rash or a pet that's underfoot, too small or too big to avoid. I change direction twice, moving to the opposite side of the table, uninterested in socializing at a party taking place within my own home. This isn't my shindig. It was the brainchild of my roommate Posey, and I'm imprisoned here because this is my house. I love Posey to death, but I'm trapped amongst her yapping friends, like I typically am when she decides to throw a gathering, one of which has me cornered at a round table. Game night, wine night, date night, Christmas parties, Valentine's parties, Easter egg hunts. Posey loves it all. The woman is ridiculous. She even insists on decorating a tree for each holiday and displaying it in the front window, much to my chagrin. The last thing I need is our neighborhood thinking crazy cat ladies live here. I can feel Claire creeping in. She won't let the matter of Elias Cohen rest. I should amend Posey's rental agreement and tack on an addendum about midweek parties or any kind of midweek cheer that interrupts my inner peace because her friends are clingy. Or at least add a stipulation giving me carte blanche to approve the guest list. Guests who have it in their heads, it's my duty, as someone who lives here, to set her up with some guy I don't even know, have never even spoken to, all because my parents' next-door neighbor was the star of the Chicago Steam professional football team in his heyday. Yeah, not happening. Makes no sense that she wants me to make an introduction. She must be high. My goal here in the dining room, where all the food is laid out, was to grab some sustenance. Now my goal is to get the hell out of here. I'm not a hermit, but I am exhausted. Plus, I have a video conference at 5 a.m. with a client who lives in London, England. I'm going back upstairs to my office to prepare, snack, then sleep. In that order. Claire, I appreciate your enthusiasm. I really do. Not. But all I want to do right now is make a plate for myself and hide in my office. I don't mention the part where I pop a sleeping pill so I can crash early. My roommate decided Thursday was the perfect night of the week to host a wine and charcuterie get-together, not considering the fact that some of us have to work at the ass crack of dawn. Sure, I work from home, and yes, normally I don't fire up my laptop until at least 9 a.m, which gives me plenty of time to sleep in, but still, I have that meeting at the ass crack of dawn because it's Thursday. We're not in college anymore. We're full-fledged adults. We're also not teenagers in high school who make their friends approach their crushes on their behalf. So juvenile and immature. Will you at least go up to him and tell him I'm interested? Oh my God. I stop piling cheese and sausage on my plate long enough to glance up at her. Are you being serious right now? What is this, 6th grade? I'm shy. I need help. Claire does a whiny stomp with her heeled foot. Why she's wearing heels during the week is beyond me. It's not as if this is a bar or a restaurant with a dress code. She's in my dining room, and it's not fancy. You're pouting, I point out, with the summer sausage slice hanging from my mouth. I'm deducting points for that.
Please, Posey said you're the best wing woman.
My roommate said that? Was she drunk? Can any of us recall the last time I spoke to a living, breathing man in a romantic sense and had any success? I'm the opposite of a wing woman. I am outspoken, blunt, and least likely to swoon. I do not simper. I am not coy. I can barely flirt my way out of a paper bag. Claire's confidence wanes.
No, she wasn't drunk. All she said was you're good at everything, including small talk with men.
Aw, a compliment. She must have confused the term wing woman with cock blocker. I'm good at small talk with men for one reason and one reason alone. Because I don't care what they think of me. I keep that information to myself. It would be the perfect argument for Claire to further insist I march over and strike up a conversation on her behalf with... Suddenly, Claire stands up straighter, tall and poised and beautiful, pushing a long strand of blonde hair behind her ear so a large golden hoop can wink and shine at me.
Elias Cohen, she's practically whispering. He's in the kitchen.
Huh? I shrug, biting into a carrot stick. Never heard of him before you mentioned him. What's his deal besides being an agent?
He's Jack Jennings' sports agent.
She fails to impress me, as that name also has no meaning for me. Sorry, I don't know who that is either. Her mouth drops open.
You don't know who Jack Jennings is.
I roll my eyes. Apparently, I've committed a grave foul, not knowing who these guys are. Nonplussed, I shuffle around her to resume loading up my plate.
No, and I don't care.
The goal right now is to fill it with one pass, so there's no need for me to come back. Once I'm locked in my office, I'm locked in my office. It has an ensuite bathroom, thank God, which will eliminate a possible run-in with any party guests downstairs. They mingle around us, the decibel of chatter echoing through the halls of my downtown brownstone loud enough that I may have to wear noise-canceling headphones while I work.
Just come with me. Claire gives my arm a tug. No one else will help, and I'm too chicken.
I bite into a piece of summer sausage. Obviously.
Obviously you'll go with me?
No, obviously you're a chicken. She scowls.
You're being mean.
I chew the sausage thoughtfully. I'm not being mean. I'm being honest. Sorry, I'm not willing to automatically follow you into the next room and embarrass myself by introducing you to some man even I have never met. How weird is that? Claire has lost her damn mind. You know there's nothing wrong with being single, right? Her face contorts.
Why would I want to be single?
Okay, clearly we have two extremely different mindsets when it comes to dating, relating, and relationships. Where I am content with single life until I find someone I click with, which I haven't. Claire feels better about herself when she's dating someone. I'm no mind reader, but that's a professional opinion based on this painful interaction. I actually feel bad for her. Also, I'm desperate to get away from her.
Oh my God, there he is.
Claire is literally dramatically clutching my arm.
Don't look.
I look. Of course I do. It's human nature to look when someone says not to look. At least it is for me. A man has joined us in the dining room at the table as he puts together his own plate, and I'll be the first to admit he's good-looking, in an I-think-I'm-good-looking kind of way. Tall, stubble from not having shaved, which I do not exactly hate. Sandy brown hair, bright white smile, button-down shirt with the sleeves rolled to his elbows, a tattoo sleeve in stark contrast to the pale blue dress shirt. Bit of chest hair peeking over the top button that I try not to stare at. My chin tilts.
Whatever.
Claire catches me looking.
I said don't look!
She hisses through clenched teeth, still gripping my arm. What am I supposed to do? Stare at the ceiling? He's at the table.
Oh my God, she groans. Lower your voice.
I thought you wanted to stalk to him. I mean, talk to him. I laugh at my own joke, pleased with the sour expression on her face. If she's trying to get Elias Cohen's attention, she'd do well to turn her frown upside down.
How's my hair?
She's practically gritting her teeth, and I bet her ass cheeks are clenched too. Poor thing. Great. Very Texan.
Huh?
Huge hair. Big, puffy, bouffanty. She looks like a pageant queen about to make her grand entrance. It's perfect. Not a hair out of place. Because she's used too much hairspray. If I lit a match, her head would go up in flames. Claire continues to trail me. I have work to do, you know. I'm not going to stand around this table forever yakking with you.
What kind of work?
Waving a fork around aimlessly through the air like a wand, I smile mysteriously. Stuff and things. Important things.
So skedaddle.
I'll get Posy in here so she can help you. I chomp down on a celery stick, and it's so loud that even I recoil at the sound. Oops. Claire's gaze is shooting past my shoulder at Elias, who's getting so perilously close I can smell his cologne, or aftershave lotion, or whatever it is good-looking men slather on to smell nice. In normal circumstances, I'd be disgusted by how much he's wearing if I'm able to detect it, but it's so good, it's making me hungry. Not in a sexual way, but in a way that makes me add more cheese and a few crackers to my heaping plate. I swear I see him side-eye the gluttony. He looks directly at it. Don't ask me how I know, but I can feel his judgment. I shift my body away from him and give Claire another push in his direction. What, Claire? You said you couldn't stop watching the Chicago Steam because you were so impressed with the new coach? I have no way of knowing whether or not the professional football team has a new coach, but that's the first team that pops out of my mouth when I open it, and I say it loud enough for Elias to interject and correct me, thus joining the conversation, thus giving me a chance to introduce Claire and get her out of my hair and fade away. Boom. I just solved my own problem.
Who was the old coach?
She asks dumbly, scratching her head and scrunching up her nose. Okay. Clearly she's horrible at role-playing because she isn't catching on. You know, the guy with the gray hair? I make an ish face at how stupid I sound, but it's lost on Claire, who's fluffing her hair and doing her best to pretend a hot guy isn't standing nearby. Still, Elias doesn't interject, though it's obvious he can hear us. That sneak is listening to our conversation. Scowling, I make fast work of grabbing what I want. All right, Claire, you're on your own. I have work to do. I'd pat her on the back or the shoulder, but my hands are full, and I don't want to drop anything on the dining room floor since I'd be the one cleaning it up.
Don't leave me,
she hisses desperately. No can do. Me got's work to do. I now have a pickle dangling from my mouth as if it were a cigar. Zero sympathy for her situation. I mean, it's a man, not a life-changing job interview. No offense to this guy. I'm sure he's a lovely, person. But if she wants to have a conversation with him bad enough, she'll grow a pair of lady balls and get to it. No more of this dicking around, as my childhood neighbor used to say. Dicking around. Huh. Smirking, I give Claire a nod as I skirt by, her mouth falling open at the audacity of my departure. The nerve of me. I don't look back as I take the stairs to my second-story office, dashing up them in record time and managing to balance my plate and not spill my water at the same time. A marvel. Using my ass, I close the door, sighing with relief as I sink into my desk chair.
2. Elias. The way that woman brushed off the other woman was genius. Pure genius. Or pure aggravation was more like it. I could hear them as soon as I walked up for food, the pair of them sidling around the table, one ignoring the other, the blonde desperate for the brunette's help. It became obvious they were talking about me.
What am I supposed to do, stare at the ceiling? He's at the table. Oh my God, the blonde had groaned. Lower your voice. I thought you wanted to stalk him. I mean, talk to him.
Stalk, not talk. That almost made me laugh out loud, especially when I'd glanced up and caught sight of the blonde's horrified expression. This was a house party for the friend of a friend. I wasn't here to pick up women, though any other night I'd be up for it if she was my type. The thing is, I had a bet to win. We were at the Super Bowl in one of those swanky suites I'd rented for the occasion, hosting a slew of my current clients and their partners, a few television executives and sponsors. It was a giant room, lots of hobnobbing, rubbing elbows, shaking hands, ass-kissing. One of my football stars, Jack Jennings, was there because his team hadn't made it to the big game and he'd brought his new girlfriend, Penelope, a real sweetheart trying to spread love. She's all about happiness and bliss and all that bullshit now that she and Jack found love for themselves. The conversation turned to me, going something like this. "You're so domestic now," I'd told Jack over a beer after he'd shown me the new, blindingly large emerald on Penelope's finger he'd given her for Christmas. They'd also just bought a house and had moved in together, blah, blah, blah. "I wasn't domestic before." "Nah, before you were a hermit. I wouldn't call that domestic. There's nothing wrong with being home all the time. I find nothing interesting about going out and partying and meeting random women." Little does he know how much fun it can be going out and partying and meeting random women. Dude is missing out. "I get it." "Not really, but whatever. I get it. All I'm saying is, you'll never see me tied down." You know what we call boasting like that? Famous last words. "Ha!" I drunk from the amber bottle and stole a shrimp kebab from the server passing by. "Can you see me with a dog, a white picket fence, and a kid?" This is where Penelope had piped up, inserting herself into the conversation as if we'd been friends for years. That's what I liked about her. She wasn't loud or even that outgoing, but she was sweet and caring and only wanted the best for people.
"Do you know what they call men like you in romance novels?"
Her eyes definitely sparkled with mischief. "What?"
"A rake. You'll make the best boyfriend when you're reformed."
She'd taken a dainty nibble of the cake pops she'd been holding, and I watched her pink mouth chew and chew and chew.
"Reformed rake.
You can't compare me to anyone in your romance novels. It's not the right time for me to be dating."
"It's never the right time."
Penn had nodded her head sagely.
"If everyone waited for the right time, we'd be waiting around forever."
"So wise." Jack kissed her on the temple, pulling her close, not giving one damn about PDA. "But he's right, babe. Elias here would make a shitty boyfriend." "Hey," I remember replying. "I never said I would make a shitty boyfriend. I said I couldn't be tied down." Jack glanced around the room. "Who's trying to tie you down? I don't see a line forming." "Screw you," I laughed, looking down at Penelope. "How do you put up with him?"
"Easy. He's my best friend."
The ring glitters and sparkles like nothing I've ever seen, especially beneath the overhead lights in this room. I feign a gag. "Ugh, don't say he's your best friend so loud. You'll make everyone jealous."
"But not you?"
"No, never me." Penelope wasn't convinced.
"The perfect girl will sweep you off your feet, Elias, and you won't even know what hit you."
"Sweep me off my feet? That's not how that works." Had I sounded disgusted? 100% yes. If I was going to meet someone, I would have met her already. It's true, I'm surrounded by women everywhere. Every game, every party, every city I visit to sign new players. I get hit on constantly by mothers, sisters, and team owners' daughters, publicists, and reporters. The list goes on and on. Not once has a single one of those women caught my eye. Penelope tilts her head, nonplussed.
"Want to bet?"
"You trying to bet me that I'll meet someone?" She nods.
"Yes, you'll meet someone, and it's going to hit you like a Mack truck. Then you'll come crawling to Jack and me for advice."
I laughed and laughed again, but maybe it was because of the beer. "You sound way too confident for someone who has no idea what she's talking about. Penelope has no idea what my track record is, and how many women I've dated that I had no actual interest in."
"You sound scared you'll lose,"
she taunts. "Fine." I'd held out my hand to hers and clasped it. "You have yourself a deal." And that's how the bet was born. We hadn't laid any stakes on it, Penelope and I, but we will the next time we're in the same room together. I had a bet to win, and women swarming me wherever I went. Okay, fine. They don't swarm me, but it sure feels like everywhere I go, some 30-something-year-old female is doing her best to make her presence known or hits on me. Which normally I wouldn't mind, but this time, I have a clear focus. Win that bet. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not even hyper-competitive. I just think this is fun, and a diversion from reality. Babysitting jocks and celebrities all damn day and night, with little time for myself, which is one reason I've never committed long-term to a woman. I won't be tied down. My mom and sisters hate when I use that term, as if being in a relationship were a negative thing. But they don't know how much pressure I'm under and how much little free time I have. Sure, I make time for the people who are important to me the same way I make time for my family. If they need me, I'm there. But there's never been a female that's attracted my attention enough to make me reprioritize my commitments to work. Unless I count Laura. My clients, most of whom are giant pains in the ass, I love like family too. Those are the people I go to bat for. Those are the people I worry about. Not random hookups I meet in the club or at parties because they want to date someone close to fame. I'm not famous, but most of my friends are, or were. Retired athletes, football, hockey, and baseball superstars, tennis pros, several sports commentators, and child golf prodigies. I watch as the young woman from the dining room takes the stairs to the second level 2x2, plate piled full of vegetables and other snacks, wondering who she is and why she doesn't seem interested in socializing with the rest of us. I don't know Posey all that well. She's a friend of my sister Kate's from college, and Kate begged me to come tonight after finding out I had no plans and was going to be in town. Nothing like a younger sister exploiting my weaknesses and taking advantage of the fact that I cannot tell her no. She's in the kitchen, head tipped back, laughing at something the dude in the navy polo shirt is saying. He looks rather douchey, if you ask me, so I scowl at her nervous giggling. I can hear it from here. Jeez, Katie, he's up on the enthusiasm. He's probably not even funny, I mutter.
Excuse me?
It's the blonde. She's still lingering nearby, refusing to give up her post or the chance to make small talk. Pointing at the kitchen with a cracker, I force a smile. My sister. I can hear her laughing.
Who's your sister?
Kate, the one in the pink sweater. The blonde nods.
I didn't realize.
She's overly enthusiastic and smiles too wide.
Your sister is here.
Her voice is too high-pitched and excited to be genuine. Cringe. I back up a few inches, stepping away. I'm only here tonight because she thought I needed to get out of the house. House? Pfft. Penthouse, to be exact, but whatever. Don't want to sound like I'm bragging, but yeah. I'm on the top floor of a fucking fantastic 40-story building with a doorman and concierge and the best view in the city. Ask my real estate agent, who pocketed $250,000 worth of commission because of that view.
I can keep you company,
the blonde says, and it occurs to me that I could introduce myself, which would open me up to actual conversation, which would mean I'd be stuck here talking to her, which would give her false hope. It's clear she's been dying for a reason to speak to me, and I confirmed it by eavesdropping on her conversation with the woman who has completely disappeared. My eyes dart toward the stairs, then back at the blonde who's watching my every movement. Thanks, however, I'm not staying long. Not anymore. Another young woman approaches, setting her hand on the back of the blonde's shoulder, leaning forward to rest her chin there as well, smiling at me with bright white teeth she can't possibly have been born with. I'm her prey. Doesn't matter if the blonde is her friend, she smells my single status and knows I'm an eligible bachelor. I may not be a star celebrity, but I was voted Chicago's most eligible bachelor 2 years in a row by Chi Magazine and had a feature spread last year in ESPN Magazine. These women may not have read those articles, but they certainly know who I am, what I do, and who I know. Normally, I wouldn't care. Normally, I would make chick-chat, connect with one, and perhaps even go back to her place for sex. But for whatever reason, it, meaningless sex, holds no appeal to me tonight. The last thing I'm thinking about is banging someone with no strings attached, and the idea of that skeeves me out even more. What the hell is wrong with me? Penelope and her daughter and my client Jack Jennings with their domestic bliss and disgustingly cute display of family? Gag. I don't need that in my life. Not now, and probably not ever. Once upon a time, maybe, but not anymore. What I do need is room to focus, not women breathing down my neck for me to take them out. Randoms I'd gone out with already still messaging me, randoms I'd gone for drinks with who were still showing up at my penthouse, buzzing to get in at all hours of the night, random chicks I'd met at clubs who knew my name, where I worked, and who my clients were, dropping into my social media messengers with nudes. Obviously, nothing is wrong with the casual fling. The problem is, these women don't want to keep it that way. They want commitment. They want big, sparkly rings, babies, mansions in the LA sky, and weekends at the lake, or New York and LA. Do I want that too? I did. But I was a different person years ago, and I'm not going to dwell on what could have, should have been. My mother always told me, and now my sisters do too, that when I meet the right someone, everything will fall into place, and I'll know what...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?